1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.
Let's move, folks. Come on, let's go.
Columbia has moved its final exams online now following a tense night of protests and arrests last night on campus. CBS's Jared Hill is there.
Columbia University's president asked the NYPD to come in and clear out the protesters, saying occupying the building and the encampment pose a clear and present danger.
Florida's six-week abortion ban takes effect today. Michelle Casadas with Planned Parenthood.
There are not enough states left with abortion access in the South. This will essentially cause an abortion desert in our area.
The state's previous ban was 15 weeks. And aid groups are closely watching for warnings of Israel's planned invasion in Gaza as Secretary of State Antony Blinken visits the Middle East to push a possible ceasefire deal. CBS's Deborah Pata.
He's here in a last-ditch bid to secure a deal to stave off the rougher offensive and ensure Gaza is flooded with humanitarian aid.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump is spending the day off from his New York hush money trial campaigning for president in Waukesha. He calls the trial a hoax in order to keep him off the stump.
I'm supposed to be in Georgia. I'm supposed to be in New Hampshire. I'm supposed to be in Ohio and lots of other places. And they have me sitting here for a Biden trial. It's a Biden trial.
Tuesday, he was fined $9,000 for violating the judge's gag order. A new poll shows a close race for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin. The Emerson College survey says 46% back incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin, while 43% support Republican challenger Eric Hovde. 1,000 registered voters were polled from April 25th through the 29th. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRA News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin's inland fishing opener is this weekend, Saturday, May 4th. Anglers should expect good conditions when they take to the waters for the opener. The Wisconsin DNR says fisheries statewide are good. After an abnormally mild winter, ice was off Wisconsin waters, the earliest in recorded history. Experts say walleye will be hungry after their spring spawning and suggest that panfishing anglers target areas of the lake with the warmest water and near areas with new aquatic plant growth. The best spot for walleye close by is shore fishing along County Highway A below the Nakusa Dam. Panfish, bass, and northern pike can be found in Nepco Lake. Remember, all Wisconsin residents and non-residents over the age of 16 are required to purchase a fishing license. Unlike other counties, there are no changes to the bag and length limit in Wood County. The statewide bag limit is 3 walleye or sauger per day on all inland waters. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks are staying alive. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A gutsy performance as the Bucks, with their backs to the wall, defeated the Pacers 115-92. Chris Middleton, playing on a sprained right ankle, had 29 points. But when he got into foul trouble, Malik Beasley stepped up, scoring 18 points in the second half. Doc Rivers.
You know, it's funny. I think Rex said it. We need just somebody else tonight to make some shots. And tonight was Malik's night, and it was huge for us.
Game 6, 5:30 tomorrow night in Indianapolis. The Pacers lead the series 3-2. Baseball, Freddie Peralta beamed a show-off Rays batter, and both he and manager Pat Murphy were ejected. Later, Brewers pitcher Abner Uribe had words with the same player, Jose Siri, then punched him on the jaw, and both benches cleared. The Brewers held on to win 8-2 over Tampa. So what happened?
I'm better off not saying anything because I need to think through it and talk through it and see what really happened and get all the facts before I represent the Brewers by making any comments or anything like that.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Windy today, with gusts peaking at 40 miles per hour under partly sunny skies. High temperatures will reach the mid-60s and by tomorrow become much cooler, into the upper 50s. This as showers and thunderstorms strike early in the morning and linger throughout most of the day. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 58.
Tired of falling behind with housework? Will this cleaning ever end? Well, guess what? It can. Call Right Way Cleaning Service, where cleanliness meets perfection and has for over 20 years. Daily, weekly, monthly, or seasonal, whatever you need, they're tailored to fit your schedule. And because they believe in taking care of those who've taken care of us, seniors get exclusive discounts. From window washing to power washing, house sitting to errand running, they do it all, and they do it the right way. So call Patty now at 715-459-1475.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Tim Sowers, who joins me to discuss upcoming events at the Overture Center in Madison. And we'll talk about Casey Kasem's bloopers. You've never heard swearing like this.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 now, past the hour of 1 o'clock on Wednesday, May 1st, 2024. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. Lots of news breaking at this hour. We will do our very best to keep you up to date. First of all, I want to go to this news that broke within the last hour or so. According to multiple sources, the Mount Horeb School District, which is about 10 to 15 miles outside of the city of Madison, put their school district on an active shooter lockdown earlier today and about an hour or so ago. Since then, the Mount Horeb School District has put out another statement saying that the active shooter was quote-unquote neutralized. And that was at the middle school. Now, according to Corey Hess, a reporter with the Wisconsin Public Radio, an update here. School district says the shooter did not get into the school. That's all we know at this time. We don't know about anyone who has been actually injured at this point. We don't know that. And that has not been confirmed at this point that we know of. We'll continue to monitor this it's no longer an active shooting situation at our shooter at Mount Horeb School District here in Madison, Mount Horeb, rather, in Dane County. But we'll continue to monitor that throughout the day. Want to bring on right now the other big story to help us understand that and the news of the day. We appreciate her coming on at very short notice. She is Anna Kleiber. She is the senior news editor for the Daily Cardinal here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Anna, thank you very much for coming in on short notice and in this heavy day of news. And I want to credit you. I started following you on Twitter. And again, it was you retweeting Corey Hess from Wisconsin Public Radio about this update that the shooter in Mount Horeb did not get into the school. I just want to compliment you. And we've had other people from the Daily Cardinal on before. You're technically a student organization, a student newspaper. I really think that you folks do some of the finest reporting in Dane County.
Yeah, the praise means a lot. It's really hard to be a student and a reporter at the same time. I mean, I sprinted into campus this morning to get out and to report on our protests on campus. And I had to dip out of reporting, actually, to take a midterm, only to pop back in. So, yeah.
That's just, it's incredible, the work that you folks all do, and I really appreciate that. Tell folks, Anna, were you there on campus at the protest on Library Mall this morning yourself, or what was, where were you at between 7 and 9 this morning when law enforcement moved in and took down the tent part of the encampment this morning?
Yeah, I was right there in the middle of it. As soon as we heard that they were moving in, I want to say I got the message from our reporting team around 7 this morning. I pretty much rolled out of bed and sprinted into campus with my camera and my computer. I was right in the middle of the action. I actually got pushed by the police at one point with their big riot shields, right up in there, getting the photos, getting the quotes, getting all the video footage I've tweeted out. I think it's really important that we cover stuff like this. I mean, that's why we've been on the scene the last 3 days. Monday, I was at the protest from like 1 p.m. to 2 a.m. Because we weren't sure if they were gonna send police in or not. So that was a long night. And last night, we were there pretty late too, just keeping an eye on things.
I was watching the 2 hours unfold at home. I was watching local Madison television, and I think one of the most helpful things for me was just to be able to see this through the lens of the camera. Now, realize one camera on location can't get the entire scene. You were there personally. But what it appeared to me from watching this unfold throughout the morning, two things that I took away with, I'd like you to either correct me or confirm what I saw, was that number one, by and large, the vast majority of the folks that were there protesting and those in the encampment were peaceful. Most of them were just sitting there. I didn't see anybody actively, quote unquote, going after law enforcement officials. And by the same token, other than having the shields, most of the police officers, law enforcement that I saw did not have helmets on. They didn't have, batons out. They had their baseball caps on and with the shields. But other than kind of keeping people away from the officers that were taking down the tent, I didn't see on television anyway any law enforcement that were aggressively going after the protesters. Would that be a correct characterization or set us straight?
In my experience, I mean, I think the police handled it probably the best they could. Our protesters were relatively peaceful from what I saw. I didn't see really any batons come out. Things got a little heated during some of the arrests. There were some people that had to be like pinned to the ground as the police were detaining them. But overall, I feel like it could have been a lot worse, nobody had to resort to tear gas. I know I heard something about pepper spray, though I cannot confirm if it was actually used. But,
So as not just a reporter, we're talking to Anna Kleiber. She is with the Daily Cardinal. She is the state news editor there at the Daily Cardinal, a reporter, but also a student. As both a journalist and a student, Anna, give us your perspective on campus. I mean, it's 40,000 undergrads, another roughly 10,000 graduate students. Over the last 3 days, I walked by there once yesterday, but just from what I've seen and read reporting, it's somewhere between 200 and 300 at its peak of students that are really the core protesters. How is this playing throughout the student body at the University of Wisconsin-Madison? Is this a prevalent issue, or is this a relatively smaller group of very vocal folks that have a very passionate belief?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to gauge. So we obviously have people who are very passionate about this and are willing to set up tents and to break laws to showcase their beliefs. And I think that's commendable. I feel like a lot of the average student population, I think they do care about this issue as far as like how extreme they will go with it. The protesters we do see obviously are very, very passionate about their beliefs. I will say this protest, I feel like it's pretty contained, on Library Mall. Mm-hmm. Everywhere else on campus, students are going about their regular day, going to classes. I mean, I talked to an engineering friend of mine, and she was texting me this morning like, hey, did you see this was happening? And, I've been following it for 3 days. I'm like, yes, I know this is happening. So right. I think it's spreading a little more, the awareness. People that walk by or through Library Mall, they see it and they are curious and they're checking it out. And especially with the escalation this morning, I think more people that are not as in touch with the issue at hand I think they're finally kind of tuning in. So it'll be an interesting next couple days. I do know they just pitched tents again on Library Mall. So we will see, you know, how things unfold in the coming hours.
What have you heard in your reporting on a collaborator with the Daily Cardinal on campus, and your reporting and those of your colleagues? Have you had an opportunity to talk with any of the Jewish students on campus? Because I know there's been certainly a narrative. People have spoken out and say, look, people have the right to protest under free speech. But some of this is also very intimidating for us as Jewish students on campus. What have you heard from them?
Yeah, so it is to my understanding that our college news editor has reached out to Hillel on campus to see if their officials would like to comment. She was told that they are celebrating Passover right now and that they didn't want to do media. I will say there have been like some counter protests occurring on Library Mall, and those have been like relatively peaceful. It's just, you know, Jewish students showing up, just kind of being present. I will say there's also been Jewish students actively participating in the protest as well. So we haven't really talked directly to any higher ups on that side of things, but we have been in contact.
I know that, you know, a lot of our listeners across the state may be watching, reading, listening to national news, particularly what's happening at Columbia in New York and also USC in Los Angeles. Put it into context, Anna, as a student and a journalist there at UW-Madison, it would seem, as someone who's only walked through campus once in the last 3 days, it would seem that what's happening at Madison on Library Mall is much more tempered and nonviolent if you compare it to what's happening across the country.
Yeah, so I can speak a little bit to that just by hanging around. I've just kind of been, you know, sitting and observing, reporting when needed. But I will say yesterday I, you know, walked through the encampment. I took some photos for the paper. And the sense of community that we are seeing on Library Mall is inspiring. I mean, people are gathering. They're sitting together, playing games, doing arts and crafts, like doing chalk on the sidewalk. I took some photos. They have a little free library with educational resources. They had free COVID tests, free Plan B. Food, their food setup is amazing. It's been peaceful,
right?
Up until, you know, what we saw this morning. I mean, and that was still relatively peaceful too, I will say, as far as how escalated things could have become.
Good.
Yeah, it's been super, super peaceful, I would say.
Well, I cannot thank you enough for coming in. And a special thanks to our executive producer, Luke Mathers, who helped line up this interview. It's a team effort here on the show. And I really appreciate you coming in. People can follow you at the Daily Cardinal on socials. Also, you're on Twitter. I still call it Twitter, but it's X at Anna Kleiber 03. I would encourage people to follow the Daily Cardinal. This is great journalism. And you're really leading the way, in my opinion, for many of us. I mean, this is a talk show, but we still try to administer or adhere to journalistic standards. I want to thank you for leading the way, Anna. Thank you for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Anna Kleiber, the news editor of the Daily Cardinal, one of the two student newspapers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I think that's the other takeaway for me. How great is it that the University of Wisconsin-Madison has not one but two student journalism newspapers here to bring us the truth, pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. We'll continue on the other side. It's the All Ball Show for Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Switching to solar power can be a bright idea for your wallet. Here are three reasons. First, you could save big money on your electric bills. Forbes magazine says an average of $1,500 a year, and over the life of your solar, it's $25,000 to $33,000. Number two, you can take advantage of tax credits to help it get paid for and installed. Now, lots of states like Wisconsin waive property and sales tax on solar, and the federal government recently passed a bunch of new tax benefits too. Those are your tax dollars at work, so let's put them to work for you. And number three, solar panels can boost your home's resale value. Now, if you don't get enough sunlight, it might not pencil out for you, but man, that chance to save $1,500 a year is definitely worth checking out. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more tips like these, go to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy, saying take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it most days. Today is a heavy news day, 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock here on a Wednesday, May 1st, 2024. Mr. Zomers, great to have Anna Kleiber with us. What I love about that is student journalism is alive and well at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and it's great to have someone who is there on the ground, who saw it with her own eyes, and can just report the facts. And that's what we need, in my opinion, more of in journalism today.
It's very refreshing because with the student journalism here, we get people who want to be there and believe in their duty to report factual information, as opposed to a lot of news organizations that increasingly get their budgets cut and their staff cut, and they just have people just struggling to make ends meet and be able to get articles out at all. And so they just don't get the effort that they need.
And how about that? Not to interrupt, but how about that? I mean, her saying that she was rolls out of bed, runs down to Library Mall to cover this, then has to go take an exam, and then goes back to do more reporting. I mean, that's dedication.
I'm not saying that everybody in news has to do that every day. That would be ridiculous. Mm. But it's the dedication of people like Anna Kleiber that make for great reporters.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, many thanks to Luke Mathers, our executive producer here at Civic Media, for helping line up that interview. Really appreciate that, Luke. That's what we're here for, to bring you the truth, to bring you facts, and to let you decide, you know, to how this affects the voting in November. And appreciate Pat Kreitlow, and appreciate Trigvi Olson being here to put all this in perspective, and your phone calls as well. Also, continue to follow the breaking news story here in South Central Wisconsin today. What is happening right now in the Mount Horeb School District in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, here in Dane County, just about 12 miles or so outside of Madison. According to the Mount Horeb School District, there was an active shooter situation. It has since been, quote, neutralized, unquote, the words of the school district. And at this point, that is about all we can confirm. Speculation that we're not going to go on here and just bring in what we know for sure. And that is that there was an active shooter situation at the appearing at the Mount Horeb Middle School. And according to the Mount Horeb School District, the active shooter situation has been, quote, neutralized at the middle school, unquote. And Mount Horeb School District still urging parents, the public, everyone to stay clear of that while they deal with that situation in Mount Horeb. One report from Wisconsin Public Radio that the active shooter did not get into the actual school and that one rifle was recovered. That is being reported by Wisconsin Public Radio at this hour. I think it just goes again to show how we should all take every day and enjoy it. It's a reminder that none of us want, but when we see things on television, when we see things happening around the world, and think, oh, well, you know, we're Americans, we're Wisconsinites, that doesn't really affect us. We never know when it will, when those things will visit our communities. And it's a good reminder, I think, just to enjoy each day and tell those that we love them, that our thoughts and prayers and our support is with all those folks in the Mount Horeb School District. Again, we don't know details other than that, according to the Mount Horeb School District, the shooter has been neutralized, a rifle was recovered, and Wisconsin Public Radio reporting that the shooter did not
get into the actual middle school. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Talking last hour to Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, following up on this story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Molly Beck, that Republicans say they're going to train 100,000 poll watchers, and they're going to put them across the country. And singling out in Wisconsin, communities that tend to vote more Democratic in Eau Claire, Madison, and Milwaukee. I believe, my feeling is, it's a form of voter intimidation, voter suppression. Because as has been confirmed, there was no discernible major voter fraud in Wisconsin in 2020 or before. It just doesn't exist. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Ron in Milwaukee. Ron, you wanted to call in and mention or comment on the poll watcher story. What say you?
Hi, and by the way, former Daily Cardinal staffer here.
Oh, well, there you go. What was that terrific? I mean, just fantastic, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, the Cardinal was, back then was, when I was there, was very, very active, big news staff. Journalism was on the high rise with, you know, investigative reporting and everything else. And it was a 6-day-a-week newspaper and just lots of fun, but also a great learning experience.
Yeah.
Anyway, the reason I called was on the voter issue.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Is, I listened to we talked about this, you and I, a couple of days ago when you first brought it up. Mm-hmm. But since then, now I've read the state party's official statement on why they're doing this. And I think it was in Molly Beck's story. And it just makes it so clear that this is just all they're doing is trying to raise a ruckus and make an issue out of this nothing burger. Mm-hmm. Well, in the first place, 100,000 poll workers nationwide. If you distribute that evenly, which you wouldn't in real life, mm-hmm. that's 1,000, you know, 2,000 per state. Wisconsin's an average state. Where are they going to put 2,000 poll watchers in just a handful of big cities? I mean, there'd be dozens of them at each Milwaukee polling site, for example. It just doesn't make any sense. And secondly, they're couching this whole, the reason for doing this is to prevent the Democrat theft of the election like it caused, you know, 4 years ago or in 20. It's just, they're still hitting that theme, even though Republican legislators and legislative leaders in this state have said there was no election fraud of consequence or any, for that matter, mm-hmm. in this state. And it was one of the best run elections ever. But we're just going to keep beating that horse. And I think that gets us to a bigger conclusion, which is when you look at their policy pronouncements, policy in quote marks, policy pronouncements in general, they're out of ideas. They're out of policy, you know, suggestions that make sense. Mm-hmm. And so they're just regurgitating old stuff. This is like, you know, let's try this one back. Let's try this again. We haven't tried this in at least 4 years. And, I mean, they've been doing the vote stuff consistently, but, yeah. Right? You know, but my point is they're just chaos agents. Right. They're just trying to make Democrat, quote-unquote, party right. for all of this trouble, you know, that they're now causing. And they're going to.
I agree with you, Ron. I've got to run up against the clock here. But, Ron, I agree with you. Thank you so much, Ron, in Milwaukee for calling in. And, Ron's absolutely right. There, even Republicans like Paul Ryan, former Speaker of the House, Republican from Janesville, Wisconsin, he said it very succinctly. Donald Trump lost the election. Joe Biden won the election. Coming up on the Civic Media later this afternoon, you can join our colleague Maggie Dawn as she will anchor coverage of the Trumpster's visit to Wisconsin. I'm sure he'll have more lies about the election, and I'm sure Maggie Dawn and her team will be on the fact-checking circuit. Don't miss it this afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show 2 until 4. Come back with more after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Police in riot gear have moved in on protesters at the UW-Madison campus. Police started arresting protesters and escorting them off Library Mall after 8 this morning. Hundreds of protesters, mostly students, are calling on the UW to cut ties to Israel. 20% of Americans age 50 and older have not saved for retirement. That's according to new research from the AARP. Spokesman Jim Flaherty says Wisconsin could be more affordable to more seniors.
Let's have an infrastructure that makes drugs affordable, that makes healthcare affordable, that makes retirement savings something that's part of their plan, and that'll keep Wisconsinites here.
57 million Americans don't have access to a retirement plan through work. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Lincoln Street is currently closed near the WRPS district office. If you need to access the old East Junior High School building where the office is located, you'll need to park on 6th Street or in the 6th Street parking lot and walk around to the main entrance on Peach Street. For the Tech Department or Central Oaks office, walk around to the Lincoln Street entrance. Everyone says their dog is special, but a puppy looking for a home at a Kenosha clinic is truly one of a kind. Here's Stuart J. Waddles with the story.
Bella is at the Wisconsin Humane Society location in Kenosha. The puppy was born with five legs with an extremely rare condition called polymelia. X-rays have revealed that Bella has two femurs, two tibias, two fibulas, and nine toes on her hind leg. Despite her unique anatomy, the six-month-old puppy is said to be happy and in good health. The special canine can be seen on the Kenosha campus website.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Comedian actress Amy Schumer put a positive spin on the internet's reaction to her, quote, puffy face. Schumer says it made her insecure at first, but also let her know that something was wrong. Schumer announced in February that she was suffering from Cushing's syndrome. The condition can be caused by too much stress, which can release cortisol, making one's face puffy and raising one's blood pressure. Schumer was grateful she caught it early and says she knows her fans will love her, puffy or not. Who doesn't enjoy a movie love scene between a doughy middle-aged man and a young pretty actress? Probably just about everyone, much to the dismay of actor Martin Freeman. The 53-year-old Fargo actor addressed his intimate scenes with 21-year-old Jenna Ortega in Miller's Girl, a dark comedy in which Ortega's character seduces Freeman's character. The reaction on social media was mostly negative. I know, shocking. Miller's Girl is available on demand. Check it out. Being grossed out is a great way to keep the weight off. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Windy today with gusts peaking at 40 miles per hour under partly sunny skies. High temperatures will reach the mid-60s and by tomorrow become much cooler into the upper 50s. This as showers and thunderstorms strike early in the morning and linger throughout most of the day. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, a Navy veteran running for state assembly is the focus of our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
I'll tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
Ah, you know.
Well, there's a sign upon your door.
Uh-huh.
Gone fishing.
I'm real gone, man.
You ain't working anymore.
Could be.
There's your hole out in the sun where you left a row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
But I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Mr. Zombers, look, Sachemo is there in the background.
Oh, yeah. Gone Fishing by Louis Armstrong and Bing Crosby.
Oh, my gosh. See, that's what, you know, those are the days I miss. And to some degree. You know, the simpler times. The simpler times. Why did Mr. Zombers dial up a little fishing music? Well, we're going to take a look at the old All Ball Show community calendar here. And as a matter of fact, well done, Mr. Zombers, for our great team. Coming up on Saturday, May 4th.
Star Wars Day?
Yes, may the 4th be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you very much. My sister, I think it was, gave me a great T-shirt that says May 4th. And now I'm not going to get to wear it on air because May 4th is a Saturday.
Yeah. Right?
But still, I'm going to be in Eau Claire on Friday, so I'll take it along with me. So there you go. No, on Saturday, May 4th is the opening day of fishing season in the state of Wisconsin. Fishing licenses are available for purchase online at Go Wild, at a Wisconsin, or also at a licensed vendor, or at a DNR service counter. Are you a big fisher person, Mr. Somers?
I go fishing with my dad. I feel like, first of all, if you are interested in fishing or you've gone fishing in the past and you go and buy your licenses in person, the DNR website, Go Wild, is actually very easy to use.
Is it really? Like, I wondered about that.
It works really well. I guess there were a couple times where it was a little confusing to find what I wanted, but once you learn how it works, it's really easy to use. But I think there are few things calmer than sitting out on a boat on the lake up north on a nice summer day, cold beer in one hand, fishing pole in the other. I get why a lot of people don't like hunting and fishing, but I think as long as you do it responsibly and like, when I go fishing with my dad up north, we're hoping to catch enough to eat. So
exactly I fished for a long time, and then it kind of was when some of the fish were getting the bad water there, the lead or whatever, and then it came into, you know, you can only catch so many, and they have to be a certain size, and it got very complicated. But I need to get back into fishing again because I miss it. I'm with you, Mr. Zombers. It was just a matter of sitting on a bank or sitting in a boat and, you know, enjoying a pop and a sandwich, venison bologna sandwiches and a jolly good soda, sitting with a fishing pole. I mean, that's a Wisconsin afternoon right there. So that's a lot of fun. So maybe that'll be one of the things I try to do, get back into my grandparents were huge fisher people. So yeah, it was absolutely fantastic.
You want to go up to the Zombers family cabin and fish?
Maybe we should do a little Zombers family cabin fishing.
We can do that.
May 4th, this Saturday, is the opening day of fishing season. Make sure you get a license. That's very key. If a conservation warden comes by, you have to be able to show your license. And they're not overly expensive, right?
No, it's like $20-something, I think, for the whole season, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
If you plan on going fishing more than once, just buy that because I think it's like $15 for a weekend pass.
Yeah.
Those numbers might be slightly off, but it's within the realm of those.
Speaking of great places to fish, go to the Wisconsin River up on Merrimack. And where we find our next caller, 855-752-4842, Jack in Merrimack. Jack, are you a fisher person? Do you enjoy a little fishing up there along the river in Merrimack?
Yeah, actually, I used to do a lot of fishing. When I was a boy, my grandparents had a cottage on Shawano Lake.
Oh.
And I would, my mom and I would go up at the end of the school year, and we would stay through the summer. My dad worked in Green Bay, and he would sort of commute. He would be living in our home in Green Bay. And but then on the weekends, he'd drive up and he'd stay at my grandparents' cottage in Shawano.
Wow, that's great.
And yeah, it was. And I would go out almost every day. And I'd actually get, we ate fish two meals a day out of that lake, and they were excellent. We'd get walleyes, we'd get sunfish, bluegills, occasional bass, and northern pike. I mean, it was really a great way to grow up.
Well, my dad and stepmom lived in Shawano for the better part of 30 years or so. And when they first moved to Shawano, they had a nice little house that they rented right on Shawano Lake. And I can remember fishing from the pier there. And it's not that deep in most of it, but it's just a lot of fun to go on the boat or fish. And it's a great place in Wisconsin for anglers.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry to say that is not the reason I called.
As they say, that's not why you called, Jack. What did you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about, these poll watchers?
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
My polling place is in the middle of a park, and it's in a strongly Democratic area. And it's about 100 yards from the road, and there are only two asphalt blocks leading to the voting area. I can see a scenario like this. The MAGA crazies would be standing, you know, almost 100 yards away from the polls to be legal, but along the walk, of course, and close enough to be intimidating. And given Wisconsin's lax gun laws, they could just be standing there heavily armed. They could be standing there in combat fatigues and vests, which would also be pretty intimidating. They could even yell and demand ID from prospective voters and shout about the penalties for voter fraud. This is why we've got to get, at some point, we need a federal law. It states clearly and unequivocally that every adult American citizen has the right to vote, and any law, regulation, or activity that interferes with that right is null, void, and illegal.
Yeah.
Now, how we exactly determine that, of course, is another question, but it's got to include things like egregious gerrymandering, which we've had in Wisconsin for way too long, has got to be banned. Ridiculously demanding voter ID, ridiculously demanding absentee ballot rules. I've been a poll watcher, a legitimate one for the League of Women Voters for several elections. And a wife cannot even hand in nor legally mail, I believe, her husband's ballot in the state of Wisconsin.
Or vice versa. Any spouse. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Obviously, anything on or near site of voter suppression tactics has got to be banned.
Right.
Then there's the stuff that they've been doing in Georgia, purging tens of thousands of voters. If you think somebody is ineligible, it should have to be done on a person-by-person basis, and proof should have to be shown that that person is ineligible.
Right.
You know, and I could go on and on, but you get the picture.
I get the picture. And look, I mean, this is one of the main, if not the main reason I left the Republican Party in 2011, because I was a witness behind the scenes of these voter suppression issues. They tried to wrap it up in a pretty package and called it voter ID. And for the record, I got no problem having to show a legal ID in order to vote, but I think it should be either a driver's license, a state ID, a valid university ID. And then we should, you know, what happened was back in the early 2010s is that they passed these so-called voter ID bills. And then here in Dane County, the main DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles, was on Sheboygan Avenue, kind of in the center-ish part of Madison, very accessible to bus lines and whatnot. Well, under the Walker administration, they built a brand new DMV at the same site. But guess what? They moved the actual office to get your driver's license or ID way out to Middleton, out in the boonies, where it's really hard to get to on a bus line, almost impossible to find, and that was intentional. So that people that needed IDs, it would make it more difficult to vote. So I had no problem with an ID, but I think it should be as easy to get one as possible, while still adhering to the law, and then we should encourage that. So that to me is just, it's a lack of common sense, Jack. And I think that people fishing on Shawnee Lake or the Wisconsin River, those are common sense folks, and it just doesn't seem like we have a lot of common sense sometimes, particularly the Republican Party.
Yeah, this is what, you know, if you truly believe that you have a valid political platform, why would you want to suppress the vote?
Exactly.
As many people to vote for you as possible.
Well, and remember, it was a Republican, Dwight D. Eisenhower, that wanted to expand the vote, lower it to 18, because he thought that more people should be voting. That came from a Republican back in the day, because Ike thought, look, I mean, I think I'm running on something people want to vote for. And you're exactly right, Jack. It's the people that are intimidated, that don't believe in what they're pushing or selling, that want to limit the vote. But I appreciate the call, Jack. Thanks so much, and have a great day up there in beautiful Merrimack. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842.
Andrew in Maine says on YouTube, it should be as easy to get a valid ID as it is to get a firearm.
Yeah, and I agree. That's a great point, Andrew.
I've said it before that the most recent time I purchased a firearm, I was shocked at how quick it was and how easy it was. Yeah. I was like, this should not. I shouldn't be able to do this.
Right. It should be as easy to get a legal form of ID to vote. Let's head over to Motor City, to the great state of Michigan in Detroit, listening on the app. Andrew in Detroit, thank you for listening to us, my friend, across Lake Michigan. What say you?
Hey, Todd. The first thing I would recommend to the listeners is show up on election day, vote, and then stand away from these people so you're not in but watch them. Mm-hmm. Watch. And if you see something, say something. If it looks like they're intimidating voters, you call the police, you do what you need to do.
Right.
But we've got to be brave enough to as brave as they are to do what they're doing, we've got to be as brave to defeat them.
Right.
The second thing I would say to Wisconsin is you've got to talk to the people that you're electing to your state representatives to enact voter initiative in Wisconsin. The people of Wisconsin have to be able to have the ability to put things on the ballot that they want. Look at what we did here in Michigan, defeating abortion laws and whatnot. Yep. We couldn't have done that without voter initiative. Is it going to happen overnight? It's going to take years. But you've got to be patient and demand that of the people you put in your state house. Thanks, Todd.
Hey, really appreciate the listenership over in Detroit, Andrew. Thank you so much. And yeah, I mean, Michigan, they've gotten things on the right track over there. And appreciate the call from all the way over there from Detroit. 855-752-4842. Let's go up to our friend Gene up in Eau Claire. Gene, we're coming back to the Chippewa Valley on Friday. How are you?
Great. Looking forward to this with the Uniroyal issue that happened. All of my family worked at Uniroyal, and in-laws worked at Uniroyal, uncles worked at Uniroyal. My dad, we used to sit up there. We'd go pick him up and wait when he was on the picket line. It was really something. And I got to hand it to Governor Tommy Thompson and all of our local people and our state representatives from down in our area. When Uniroyal shut down, they really worked hard to get people into vocational school or college or new areas that they could work in. I was really, really impressed. Mm-hmm. It was a lot better job than what's going on with the medical issue. I guess there's people lined up down in the emergency. I just heard this rumor. I haven't seen it, but people have taken loved ones down to emergency at one of our local hospitals, and they're just overwhelmed.
Wow.
And they say, don't go unless you absolutely have to. And we've never had that in our area. That's a new thing. And also, I just want to say, what an outstanding show covering so many topics. And there's one thing I'd like to say. Thank you so much for hosting the people that are running against Van Orden. We have nothing here. I'm not a member of any party. I don't get literature. So I don't even know the names of the people unless I you know, significantly look for it, of running and what they're standing for. So this is outstanding.
Thank you, Jean,
so much for the job you're doing. Bye-bye.
I appreciate it. We'll give you those details of the Democratic 3rd District candidate form on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Almost Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turn 26. Now that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 now before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from national state news, a check of weather. And then our colleague and friend Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon, 2 until 4, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie and her guests will be covering the arrival of the former president, Donald J. Trump, who is in Waukesha. Got there early, apparently. And not the first time. But anyway, he's giving a speech right now, and or at least started, and Maggie Dawn will be all over that, and she will have coverage coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show immediately following our show here today. Also, an update on the other breaking news here, or one of the many breaking news stories today. And Mr. Zalmers, you're on top of this. I appreciate it. This is reporting from the Capital Times. Is that correct?
Yes. And according to the superintendent of the district in Mount Horeb, there are no reports of injuries with the exception of the alleged assailant. And everything else, still accurate. Yeah. The shooter was neutralized outside the building and never got in. Right, so far, it seems as though nobody has been hurt.
Very good. And again, we're referring to this breaking news over the last couple of hours of our show, according to the Mount Horeb School District here in Dane County, about 12 miles outside of Madison. There was an active shooter incident this morning, and according to the Mount Horeb School District press release, the shooter was quote-unquote neutralized outside of the middle school, unquote. And that is being confirmed now by the Capital Times here, which, of course, we have a partnership with. Wisconsin Public Radio reporting that the alleged shooter was put down. We do not know their condition at this time. And also the Wisconsin Public Radio reporting that a rifle was recovered, but that the shooter, in fact, did not get into the Mount Horeb Middle School. And now Mr. Zalmers is all over that report from the Capital Times that reporting that no other people besides the alleged shooter were harmed. So we certainly, that is good news. That is good news. And we can certainly use some here on this 1st of May. Also, covering our top story at the beginning of the show for the University of Wisconsin-Madison, the pro-Palestinian protester encampment at Library Mall here in Madison. Around 7 o'clock this morning, campus law enforcement, in conjunction with other law enforcement in Dane County, went on to campus, went into the encampment. There were about a dozen to 15 tents at most. And largely, and this was fantastic, we had reporting from Anna Kleiber from the Daily Cardinal, one of the two great student journalism newspapers on campus. Anna was here on the show earlier and confirmed that the entire morning and I watched this live on Madison TV, was largely peaceful and without incident. There were a couple of small exceptions to this, but the protesters and law enforcement, by and large, respected one another. And there was one individual professor that had a bump to the head and had a little bit of blood. And there are reports from now campus police that I believe four law enforcement officers had minor to moderate injuries. One of them allegedly was hit over the head with a skateboard by someone. But other than that, there were no, unlike what you see on TV in New York and USC, there were no batons. And the only riot gear, by the way, and this was confirmed by Anna Kleiber, were the shields, which, of course, is standard practice anytime a law enforcement officer goes into a situation. You have to protect your law enforcement officers. I know this in part because I was chairman of the Public Safety Commission back in my town, worked with our law enforcement. But the police, the law enforcement folks, were in baseball caps, not riot helmets. They did not have on the protective elbow or knee pads. There were no batons. That was confirmed by Anna Kleiber of the Daily Cardinal. They were basically in their normal gear except for the shields.
You can also confirm it yourself by looking at all the pictures and videos. Yes. They're just wearing baseball caps.
Right. But they, under the direction of Chancellor Mnuchin, who the student protesters confirmed, met with them yesterday and told them this would happen. And law enforcement gave them verbal warnings. And they chose not to heed those. And so law enforcement went in, removed the tents. Important to note, important reporting here, that the tables of food and beverage and whatnot were untouched by law enforcement. These signs untouched. And in fact, Mark Levicott, the spokesperson for campus police, encouraged students to stay and peacefully protest and demonstrate, as is their First Amendment right, but simply saying they were in violation of state law, which prohibits encampments on the grounds.
And Chancellor Mnuchin also emphasized that students and emphasized and encouraged the right to protest by students, right, in a statement she released earlier today, which details all of these facts, everything that happened, everything that didn't happen, and so forth.
Yeah. So I think, again, our objective here, our goal is to bring you reliable factual reporting on this show, and we appreciate Anna Kleiber from the Daily Cardinal being here to confirm and do her own reporting. Spectacular reporting, by the way, at the Daily Cardinal, and we would encourage you to follow their social feeds. Also, thanks, as we said, to Luke Mathers, our executive producer at Civic Media, for helping line that up. Also, thanks to Mr. Zommers for doing a great job in keeping track of this very busy day, and the day will continue here the next hour with Maggie Dawn and her guests as she covers former President Trump's arrival at Waukesha this afternoon, and more. So a busy day indeed. Tomorrow on the program, going to talk a little bit about National Small Business Week. It is going on all week. So remember to support your local small business. And we talked about Arbor Day, by the way, a couple of days ago. Here's a little nugget for you to end on a high note for the day. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is into planting trees. Bigly, to use a word. Last week, Evers upped his target for planting trees this decade from 75 million to 100 million trees. Get this little factoid for you. Since the start of 2021, Wisconsin has planted 32 million trees. How about that? And if you, dear listener, plant a tree this spring, that'll make it 32 million and one. How about that? So very, very interesting, in fact, that Tony Evers, and by the way, we were out at Governor Nelson State Park last week and interviewed the director there of Governor Nelson State Park. The governor was actually there at Governor Nelson State Park planting trees and himself. So he's not just saying it, he's actually doing it as well. So do your part. Plant a tree on this Arbor Day week as well. Don't forget, on Friday, we're going to be up at the Pablo Center in Eau Claire, debuting and talking to BJ Hollers, one of the filmmakers from When Rubber Hit the Road. So that's going to be great in Eau Claire on Friday. Join us tomorrow. Thank you so much to everyone for doing a great job. We'll see you then. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on Air. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Devil's Advocates, Donald Trump, and Waukesha. Crudy will be there. He'll bring you the MAGA on the street. Everything you need to know. Devil's Advocates. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You wouldn't let a little cold weather or snow interrupt your outdoor cooking experience, no. Of course not. You're the master of the pit. No wind or snow or ice is slowing you down. So that's why we at Grandpa's Barbecue salute you. The rich, original flavor of barbecue the way it was meant to be. But you should also know that it works great in a crock pot, too. Shh, you didn't hear that from us. Grandpa's Barbecue, available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS